Hello and welcome to Mum's Work and Chaos. We all know the saying, it takes a village to raise a child, but where is that village? Well, I started this podcast to help you find yours, and I'm joined by some amazing guests this season, talking about subjects such as fast fashion, menopause, sex education, and teenage behaviour, just to name a few. So join me this season, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to this episode of Mum's Work and Chaos. Today I'm joined by the absolutely radiant Emma Nicolay, and we are talking all about social media, phones and our children. Hi Emma, how are you?
I'm fine, and I appreciate the radiant comment, but as you know, a lot of smoke and mirrors and a lot of makeup. I am I'm trying to keep a guinea pig alive, which involves feeding it every 3 hours by syringe, and also helping it to poo. So yeah, amazing, squeezing a eroding bum.
Honestly, you are a saint. You have rescued the most beautiful dog. You have now rescued a guinea pig and somehow managed to keep chickens alive, which is a real feat, if I'm honest. Like, I tried to keep a rabbit alive and he had a heart attack because my dog barked at him. So there you go.
Well, our dog, you know, is quite big, as you know, and he loves Bob, our guinea pig, and guinea pig, they should have a little pal, but he's on his own. So I've never thought I would get attached when we rescued him, but he's so plucky and he's got such a lovely personality, and he responds to your voice and he comes up to the cage because, you know, he's on his own in there. And we keep him in the house. We won't have him outside. So it's absolutely in the girls' like playroom. But it's, I'm really hoping at the moment, if it's like being back as a new mum. I've forgotten the level of tiredness and exhaustion of what it's like having to get up like every 3 hours. And I have to set my alarm, have to swaddle him, and then have to syringe. Honestly, it's crazy, but it's bringing out so much maternal kind of feelings in me again. It's scary. Feelings coupled with going, I definitely don't want this. It's an excellent contraception, getting back up in the night when you've got through the other side. Now the girls are like, you know, are older, able to get up and make their own breakfast. You're like, this is it, I've won the lottery. And then all of a sudden your body goes, hey, how about another?
Oh god, I have I've got three girls. So I've got an eight-year-old, a four-year-old who's gonna start school in September, and a two and a half year old, and god love them, but they are a lot. And I'm still every now and again have to get up in the night with the two-year-old, who seemed to think this morning at 4:30 was wide awake time. So I'm there with you. The smoke and mirrors are in full effect today for both of us.
I was thinking that I should start doing like lives in the middle of the night for all the breastfeeding, you know, kind of bottle feeding mums, you know. My guinea pig and them and their babies, and us just going, how you doing, like having a chat. Although
she's
saying
got
that
the 3 a.m. club, Emma,
I've got this, you know, kind of, yeah, they'll have to do all the talking, but yeah, the 3 a.m. club, I thought that might be quite fun, but anyway. By the time this comes out, hopefully he's still alive, bless him.
I will make sure to keep abreast of his developments on your Instagram. But yes, I hope he's still alive by the time this comes out. It would be very sad if he wasn't. But today we are here to talk about a very important issue, and something that you've spoken about a couple of times on your Instagram as well, and that is I'm hesitant to say the dangers of social media, because there's so much that's good about it, but for our kids, it's such a weird situation, isn't it? You know, we're old enough to remember a time without the internet. We're old enough to remember, you know, the first forays of social media. I remember getting a Facebook account and I had to have a university email address to do it. And my uni was one of the first to join Facebook in the UK. And I remember all of these huge, big things. And now I just...
I could pick up my phone and speak to anyone, which is quite disconcerting. I mean, I guess we had chat rooms back in the day. I was never allowed on. But, you know, our kids have access to all of these different things now. And we...
And then it was still the kind of dopamine hit of when somebody liked something. You know, it was connected. When it started, things like Facebook, it was about connecting, and you'd meet, you know, get back in touch with people. So there was still very much that social element and that that kind of shared reality of what was happening, kind of in the ether. Whereas now it's become very much. You know, obviously there was then you start putting content on, like pictures on there, when people liked a picture, oh, that was really nice, you know, oh, that's nice, like, you know, hearted it, you know, thumbs up or whatever. But it's very different now because it's, you know, essentially, I think the worst thing that could have happened is internet being available on mobile phones for any of us, adults, children, whatever, just the human race. I think it's the worst. I came to this conclusion the other day when I left my phone upstairs in the tripod because I was filming the development of some fake tan on my face, and I thought I want to keep it in the same spot, you know, for continuity. And so I thought, I'm just going to challenge myself, and I'm going to leave my phone up, you know, in the tripod. And it was so hard, like leaving the house without. I needed it to pay for things. I would suddenly go like, oh, I want the answer to that, and I couldn't get it straight away, and I was twitchy. People were getting annoyed because I wasn't responding quickly to you know, to get back to them, because we're so accessible. You know, when you've got this phone with the internet on it, you've essentially got like a, you know, the minute you open an app like Instagram or YouTube or TikTok, or you've got like a supercomputer pointed at your brain that goes, right, what are you watching? It gauges how long you're watching it for, what kind of content that's like. Okay, we're going to feed you more, and we're going to feed you more. And the fact is that, you know, yes, it's entertaining, but, you know, we've got to wise up to the fact that these are businesses, and they are trying to maximize engagement because they are trying to make money. We are just pawns in all of this, and we need to take back control. We need to take back control. And therefore, you know, when I think about how difficult I find it as an adult to regulate myself on my phone, how can I expect a child to do that? When I think back to when I first got a mobile phone, you know, we think about when you did, could you think back then going, oh, well, I should give one of these to a 5-year-old? I mean, would you put your child in a room full of strangers? No, but what you put give them a smartphone with access to the internet, and with so, you know, unfortunately, so many people with no protection on it at all.
Yeah.
So my position on it is very much, you know, I mean, we'll dig into kind of it a bit more, but is, I'm not anti phones. I'm not anti screens. Yeah. I am anti smartphones for children. That is, I feel that it is not necessary. I feel that I can't find one reason why I think that they need a smartphone. I can't think, and certainly not at 5 years old. However, I do think they need now, because we are more terrified of the, you know, of the boogeyman. Yeah. They do need a phone for protection to contact us. You know, the kids going out on their bikes now, I want Molly to have her phone with her so she can, if she got lost or whatever, which happened on Saturday, she went out with my husband for a dog walk. He was taking the route where you couldn't take a bike, and they were meeting the other side. They took a wrong turn. They had to find somebody to borrow their phone. Luckily, they've memorized my number. Okay. Yeah. So that's what I've made them do, because, you know, she's only now 11 and just had a phone because she's getting the coach to school. But, you know, she was able to, you know, ask this person, can I call my mum? And I was able to kind of arrange it. But, you know, I straight away drove to where she was, gave her phone, and went, right, now, you know, you're going to be, we'll know where you are. So I that does not need internet. That is that could be a, but I also understand, and I'm trying to caveat everything in my head that people have said to me now as I'm talking, you know, when I've said something, you know, somebody messaged me when I spoke about this on my Instagram and said, but, you know, people have got hand-me-down phones from, that's how it works, you know, that's why we're giving them to kids, because it's like, oh, it's an old phone, they can watch Peppa Pig on YouTube, but that addiction begins there, you know. So swiping their concentration levels, as I spoke to you about before we started recording. You know, just why I took YouTube Shorts off, because of the no concentration, because they're just flicking. I don't mind them watching TV, just watch a series, even binge watch a series. I get that, but at least you're concentrating. And then you're going
exactly the same with YouTube. We don't have YouTube, so my eldest has an iPad, which we bought her so that because we were in lockdown when we started school. So we bought her the iPad so we could do homeschool, homework and everything on there, because they would send all the links for like BBC Bite Size, so she could do all her number block stuff and everything. And so we got the iPad for educational purposes, but obviously subsequently it's now become the default, I'm going to watch stuff on this device, because her sisters want to watch much younger programs like Waffle Doggy and Dougie and Peppa Pig and everything, and she wants to watch older shows. And so in a way it kind of helps with the segregation of content that's more appropriate for the younger children as well. But she came home and asked me the other day for a phone, because one of her friends in her class has one, albeit it doesn't have a SIM card in it, and it's, you know, she plays games on it, but it was a hand-me-down phone from her brother. But I, as I said, I took YouTube off the telly, I took YouTube off the iPad, because she was watching people playing with Barbies. And I was just like, you have a shit ton of Barbies in the cupboard. Get one out and play with it. Why are you watching other people playing when you could be playing yourself? And so that was part of the reason I got rid of it. And the other reason was because she was watching all these unboxing videos. And the next thing you know, I was being demanded to buy the latest LOL doll series. And I, again, I've got enough in my house. I don't need any more. So I got rid of it.
When you think about it, that, you know, that was no different to when we used to watch our children's programs when we were younger, and then you'd see an advert. It's amazing when it comes to Christmas, I used to have a list of things, you know, or the Argos catalogue would come out and I'd be like,
I don't have a clue anymore.
I don't get a list of things at Christmas. They struggle to know what they want, which is really interesting, because they're not inundated with any adverts. They're not, do you know what I mean? And the phone thing about, you know, a lady messaged me once and she said, well, not everyone can afford to get a new phone. And I went straight on and had a look, and I was like, okay, you can get a basic brick, which does calls and texts for under 12 quid.
Yeah.
So you can do that. So where you choose to put your money as a parent, that's on you. But you could also, you know, with old tech, you can use that to take to the iPhone, to Apple, and then you can use that to put towards getting a new phone. So, it's not wasted. You can still use that tech. You can still make money from it if you sell it on or whatever. You don't need to give it to your kids. Sell it on and use that money to buy them a basic phone that's going to do what you need.
My first phone I got my first phone when I was 13, and that was because my mum worked as a teacher, and she'd have to stay for parent-teacher conferences, and she'd have to stay for teacher training and stuff like that, and stay longer. And she worked in schools all over the county, because she was a supply teacher, and so she could be anywhere on any given day. And so I had a phone, and I would walk past my sister's primary school, and so she'd sit on a bench outside the school, wait for me to come past, collect her so that we could walk home. That's just the way we did it when I was at my lower school. So there was two separate sites for my secondary school. And I didn't get my phone until I moved to the upper school. And my sister had started at the lower school, and she got a phone at the same time, because I no longer would walk past her to come home. Yeah. So we both had a phone just in case of emergencies. We both got a 3310. It was the most indestructible brick you could possibly get. You could chuck it across the school field and it would survive. The cover might come off, but you just clipped it back on. Everything was good, dandy, ready to go. And so, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to my eldest having a similar style brick when she starts secondary school, when she's 11. But I don't see the need for her to have something that has Snapchat, Instagram and everything else on it, WhatsApp. She just needs her friends' numbers. Does she really need to be part of a whole class group chat? Where, you know, I've seen so many cases of bullying on WhatsApp, let alone on social media, where whole classes have ganged up on children in their class in the group chat. And I'm actually scared for what's ahead of her when it comes to getting her own phone.
That's how I feel, and that's why, in the vacuous space that Instagram is, you know, although there's a lot of good there, I would much rather be using my platform to shout about this, because it starts with us. It really starts with us. And I feel like I get the pressure as a parent. I was so worried when Molly started school, because I was like, yeah, okay, you're not going to have a phone when you start. Oh, I was thinking they're all going to have phones. I know from other parents that have got kids there, they're all on WhatsApp groups, Snapchat. You know, they're all on there. And I was like, she's going to be ostracized. Is she not, you know, it's not going to feel part of it. No, not, didn't happen. It didn't happen. It really didn't happen. And now she's got it. She's got a phone. She texts her friends, but very occasionally, because to be honest with you, she has her phone to go to school. And when she comes home from school, by the time she gets the bus back, it's quite far, she's not back till 6:30. And at that point, even if she, when she was coming back earlier than that, she had homework to do. And then when she'd done that, I'm not having her going sitting up in her room. There's nothing that can't wait until the next day. And actually, she can text her friends, she can text her cousins, but there isn't really anything to talk about. Whereas when you provide them with something like WhatsApp, suddenly it becomes this kind of group mentality, where you're, again, for the dopamine hit, trying to impress, trying to get a reaction, trying to, you know. And the stuff that there are kids in her class who are on the WhatsApp group for the year. And it is crazy. I mean, one of my friends, her son has it, but he's not interested. I know my daughter, she's like me. I couldn't regulate myself if I was constant. Yeah. Ping, 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 ping. She said she picked up the phone, there was 5,000 messages. 5,000. And you know, some of the stuff on there was inappropriate, there was swearing, there was a year seven kid using the C word, there was all, you know, because although you've got some people on there whose parents are, you know, aware that they've got it, there's other people who are kind of, you know, there's an essence of lazy parenting with a lot of parents as well, where, you know, it'd be like it keeps them busy, it keeps them quiet. We have the research and the information now that we didn't have before, and now we have no excuse not to take responsibility for what's happening. So later on down the line, we can say, that's not our fault, we did our best. And right now, how many of us can hold our hands up and say, we are doing our best? I'm still not doing my best, and there's things that I haven't done. I don't feel the need to, because she's not using her phone, but you know, putting restrictions on the router, which you can do, which a lot of people don't realise, so they can't access over 18s content even when they're at home, you know, because it's easy to think, well, when they're at home, they're under our roof, so they're safe. Then they're not. They're still in a whole fucking room of strangers, because that's what the internet is. So the internet on phones is just the worst thing. The worst thing. And it's
true, though.
Disconnected, you saw the messages that I got, you know, once to a video of Barley just, you know, being Barley and just being fun. I didn't post it for it to go viral. Just happened, and it's out of my control. It's out of this lovely safety net of majority of, you know, nice people that follow me. And you know, people found it amusing, it gave them joy, they shared it. And then these comments start coming, like, kill it. Push it. This is talking about my 8-year old
daughter. Down the stairs was one of them, wasn't it?
Is it too late for what was it? Oh, it was just horrible things. But the most shocking thing was how, when I obviously, when they first started coming through, I'm always intrigued just to know, where does this come from? Now, with adults, that's often, you know, someone with a live, laugh, love sign and, you know, be kind and all this kind of shit. And you know, and but with adults, I do, you know, I think you should just, you should know better. You should know better. But my God, if that's not proof that if adults don't know better, how can they be parenting their kids that well? You know what I mean? It's like, but the scary thing about it was the amount that were coming from children. And when I looked across all of these accounts, that was from as young as like maybe 8, 10.
Wow.
I'm seeing the stuff that they're posting. I think your mum and dad cannot know you're doing that. That's like, that's that. If they cannot know you're doing that and not do anything about it. You know, there's enough stuff online for them to get things to hide. This, you know, what's going on their screens for real. They have a fake screen. They're very clever. We were all very clever. Fuck me, when I was, you know, wanting to go out and I didn't want my parents to know about it, I was clever, you know?
That's
kid. But these ones
are... I was going to clubs at 16. That was all part of the fun.
Out of the house, and then you put it all on and apply it. The skirt went up. But I you know, this, the, it's terrifying because the kind of violence that they're talking, it's just... I just think to myself, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, they're so disconnected emotionally. And so, you know, when this, when you turn on the phone and this computer, you know, this supercomputer immediately has access to your brainstem, you know, essentially is going, right, let's feed you with what you want. And the businesses are like, yeah, keep them on, keep them on. We want to show them the adverts. And you only have to look at the head honchos in tech. They don't give their kids phones.
No.
None of them have got, they don't give their kids phones. Like, what more evidence do you need? Because the problem is that a young teen girl, she's going to be looking at videos on, like, you know, how these girls look amazing and, like, oh, look at their body and their thigh gap. And, oh, then that leads to a video about dieting. So then the algorithm, you know, that supercomputer that you've put directly into their brain that they're staring at in at night, then start showing them dieting videos. Then the dieting videos, because they've watched that for so long, then the apps, the people behind it who do not care what happens to your kids, they don't care. They go, if you like the dieting videos, let's show her some videos on anorexia. And that is addictive watching. And they will show
more and more. That's what scares me. So like we've had some questions in as well about all of this, because it's such you know, an important subject for so many of us who, you know, really care about our kids' safety online. You know, when my daughter started school, I was made to sign a letter that said that I would be responsible for her safety online at home. They would be responsible for her safety online at school. And I've had to do the same again with my middle one starting in September. It was really interesting to read through that letter again and really sort of like look at it differently this time and understand the gravitas of my responsibility for her safety online at home. You know, and as I said, that started with me getting rid of YouTube. You know, she knows that anything over a PG, she has to ask, and obviously the answer is going to be no, because it's not appropriate. And so we've set clear boundaries, and she understands those boundaries, and you know, and she doesn't sway from them, which is great because she's a massive rule follower. Thank God for that. but you know, as we were saying, you know, we've all done things as teenagers, as kids, that where we've sort of like pushed the boundaries a little bit because that's part of the fun. But it can be so much more now. And like you were saying about those videos of let's show the video of the thigh gap, then the diet, then this and then that. I remember all the magazines when we were kids about, you know, Jennifer Aniston, her cellulite. Okay, and what? You know, now I can look at it and go, oh, wow.
It's all like nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. That's what we were fed.
Oh, God. Yes. But then I got conned into buying the scrubbing mitt and the caffeine thing and all of that to get rid of something that is part of me and is never going to go away. I have cellulite. So does 95% of the rest of the population. Like, get over it. Stop making me feel bad for being me. But
That's not just one though. I mean, that's something that we still, you know, what we're watching, we've got to think about, you know, how we're affected by things that we watch on social media as an adult. God, you know, I look at things and I'm like, oh God, she's so much prettier, or she's so much thinner, or she's got such a much healthier lifestyle than me. And how does that make me feel? You know, like, so
yeah,
I've never seen that before, but now, you know, it's there and it's beamed in. And the longer I watch it, the more stuff it's going to show me of stuff like that that's going to make me feel bad. It's the same way as, like, I love mum-based comedy. I love mum-based comedy. But I started to realise that when I watch, like, things that I choose to follow on Instagram, let's say, or on TikTok, I don't follow a lot of accounts, but I try and follow things that are either going to be educational, are going to make me feel good, and, you know, or make me laugh. And what I found was that, you know, I looked at why I follow things that are inspirational, because I, like, you know, I want to have a positive mental attitude on things, or, you know, people that are, you know, doing, you know, eating a certain way because, and they look healthy, you know, they don't look skinny, they look healthy and they look strong. That's what I want to be around for my kids for longer. It's not so much about the vanity element anymore, or, you know, makeup, how people are doing their makeup. But then I started to think, well, I follow those things because over time, as I watch them, the positivity seeps into my subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
I thought to myself, well, if I'm watching loads of mum humor videos about how shit being a mum is and how it's so challenging and kids are assholes, and I just started seeing this narrative that came out of lockdown because it was hard, right? That's continued with, you know, kind of my kids are assholes. That was the narrative. And, you know, and then people battling with this, you know, the other extreme of then people going to them, well, you know, why do you have kids then? I'm not that person. But what I am is thinking, I think we have to be really careful about how much of that kind of comedy we watch, because then you start to think, oh, actually, my kids are really challenging. And, oh, my God, I've got, how am I going to manage it with my job and you know, and looking after them in the summer holidays? And suddenly you're mentally coming from a place where you're on the back foot already.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just want to kind of, you know, I really want to change that mindset and just be like, okay, not to the extent of, oh, there's only 18 summers left until you lose them, you know, but it's like a balance of going, look, it doesn't matter if you're not being that mum on, you know, social media, taking them out and doing amazing things all the time. You know, then once she's done that and she's filmed it, she's probably back home scrolling on her phone. You know, it's like, it's okay to do that at the playground too. And when they're doing swimming lessons, not constantly be watching, that's all okay. But let's just, you know, just be careful about what we're watching and we're putting into our brains as adults.
Yeah.
Because
it's like what I was saying to you before we started recording. You know, I like over the weekend, I was doing a lot of DIY. My kids had to entertain themselves. They were playing in the garden. They were eating ice cream. They were watching tennis.
It's the best thing.
Yeah. But they had a great time. They went into the playroom. They found a bunch of toys they didn't even know existed. The playroom, I'm going to say, is an empty, vacuous space just filled with boxes of toys. So it's nothing amazing. I don't have beautiful rainbows on the wall and all that sort of bollocks. It's just a room with toys in it and they can play. But they found a bunch of stuff they didn't even remember they had, and it was great. And then
they all
started to become little rat bags, and we took them out to the arcade and we had a great time. And because we realised that we'd been at it for too long and we needed a break as well. And so I'm not trying to sell this sort of like guilt trippy thing across my Instagram of, you know, everything's perfect. You must take your kids to the zoo at least once a month and do all these really fun days out. I look at the fun days out because I want to, because I'd like ideas. But like you were saying before as well, I always feel on the back foot when it comes to bank holidays and things like that. I always forget that they're coming up. I would have turned up to work yesterday, not realising, had my boss not said, oh, so what are you doing over the bank holiday? And I was like, well, I'm glad you asked me, because I was going to come to work on Monday. So I'm having a day off, probably doing DIY. And Claire was just like, I'm glad I mentioned this to you. I knew this was going to happen. Like, she knows me too well. But she also listens to the podcast. So hi, Claire. But yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I I always feel I look at that sort of content, and the minute I start feeling guilty or like it's, you know, it's feeding me that sort of like slightly you should be ashamed of yourself because you're not taking your kids out and you're not building tough trays of wonderful landscapes for dinosaurs to play in, then I move away from it, because it's like I don't need the shame. I'm doing the best I can with what I've got, and if I don't have coconut flour and something to build sand with, then that's okay. Because
one of the things that you know, the a lot of, you know, neuroscientists and child psychologists and just generally psychologists are saying off the back of this whole kind of idea of a smartphone free childhood is, yes, you know, the genie is out of the bottle. Yes, it's going to be hard to go back, you know, like the problems that they have, you know, over like something going, you know, losing the Wi-Fi or, you know, all this kind of stuff that's happened, which is the nature of addiction, you know, isn't it? It's that kind of that come down, that it's not going to be easy, but you can't expect them to manage that without providing them with an alternative. So therefore, you know, if you are going to take, you know, try and move back and just go to a brick phone, then provide them with an alternative. There is some kind of outdoor activity or, you know, just, you know, going for a walk. And I'm, you know, listen, I am the least, I don't like walking. Okay. I put my dog out because I do it for my dog. I wouldn't probably take myself for a walk. Yeah. It's just not something I would do, but I know I would feel better after doing it always. You know, it's like exercise. And I think, you know, kids, that you have to provide them with something else. And one of the, you know, there's a neuroscientist, child neuroscientist, really great guy I just started following, actually. Brilliant he is. I must share him. And I can't remember his name. That's so annoying.
come to you.
I cannot retain shit like that. Better than my own. But yeah, no, he was talking about how there was three things, and I came to them, that he was saying to help kids to reset from kind of being in this kind of smartphone addiction. One of them was cold showers. I was like, that never happening. I was like, there's no way I'm getting my kid in a cold shower. And I just think they would hate me if I started trying to do that. But one of the things was about outdoor activities. It's a huge, huge, huge thing, because you need to reset the dopamine level. So you need to reset how that dopamine is going to be provided when you take the phone away, because they're going to be feeling really fucking low. You know, when I say take the phone away, take the smart element of it away, you know? So as I said, not anti-phones, I'm anti-smartphones in childhood, that's all. Okay, so when you do that, suddenly that where they were getting their dopamine from has to be rediscovered. You've got to do a reset and find new ways for them to you know, get these little challenges and successions that they're getting, you know, that like missions almost, so that they can get that hit like we used to. It's mad. It's so much in there, and like I say, we've got the information, and we can either, I mean, we're just as bad. The attention span that we have, we're not going to want to sit someone talking about it. I mean, I find it hard to sit through a podcast, like listen to a podcast. I have to be doing something else while I'm listening to it. But honestly, there's so much out there now that we can learn from. And I just don't think it's too late. And I know that there may be people listening to this going, you know, they'll feel left out. There's other, you know, but as I will, there's a movement, and there's obviously smartphone free childhood is a movement, which is already happening, and hopefully you'll tag them somewhere in this. That's great. You know, that's just a mum like us, like many people listening, just going, this isn't right, but can one person make a difference? And the rate that account grew, my god, I wish I could get that kind of growth. That account has just blown up, and it's being spoken about media, and it's gone to Parliament, and it's got great, you know, huge accounts like Louise Boysbum has still got it behind it, which is what it needs to really get heard. But it's not just, you know, we all need to be talking about it. We all need to let other mums and dads and carers, whoever, know that we're going to do this, and we can, together, we can do it, you know, and we can afterwards because the tech guys aren't going to do it. I was with a friend. Your tech's not going to do it. You know,
one of the questions that we got was, how do we make companies like TikTok responsible to limit access to inappropriate content for younger audiences? And that's like what you were saying about, like, you know, showing some of that inappropriate content. I joined TikTok, you know, to sort of like grow the podcast, and I've barely used it because, like, the minute I got on there, straight away I was shown something pornographic and I was shown something diet culture related, and I was just like, I've been here 2 seconds, what the fuck is going on?
If you're a teen, you're going to keep watching that. So what does the
exactly
the app, it sends you more. So yep. It is very much, I mean, look, I'm not being fuddy-duddy about this, but everything is far more sexualized now than it yeah. used to be. And I've seen it as I've grown up. Music videos now, you know, they're X-rated, some of these music videos. They are. And I'm not being fuddy-duddy about it because I'm like, fine, I don't care about that. We shouldn't be there should be no shame around sex, I don't think, or bodies or anything like that. But we really do have to take responsibility for protecting children whose minds are not yet developed enough to understand that. And you know, like I said to you earlier, before we started recording, you know, when they ask you the difficult questions around sex, you answer as much as they've asked. You don't give any more. There's a reason why they're just not developed enough to understand. It's different with some children, particularly, you know, children who are neurodiverse. On the spectrum, they're going to have a more questioning mind, so that becomes different. It's a bit more challenging, like, you know, within family members. But a majority is, you know, they should only have so much and be drip fed it as they get older. Mm. But access to the internet, there's no drip feeding there. You know, it's so sexualized. And on, you know, on apps like TikTok and on Instagram, you know, that a lot of that is to drive them to other sites like OnlyFans, for example. So, because they can't, people might not know this, but you can't mention OnlyFans. They are quite good, you know, at cancelling out, you know, banning people for using certain words. But this generation is very clever. You know, they don't use those words. They use alternatives. And, you know, TikTok wants to keep people on there. So, you know, Meta is good as far as it, you know, it does a lot. It provides you with the parental control that should you be a parent that wants to do that, we'll put them in place. But that again comes back to us as a parent, when to do that. So we can protect them only so far. But don't think the tech's ever going to do you a favor. They're not going to make it easy for you, because they want your kids on until kids turn to adults. And something, the saddest thing I heard the other day, a friend of mine works for a massive ad agency. And that friend had seen my video talking about how Molly had, you know, the phone has started controlling her, and this is not on social media, this is on games. She was playing games. And so I went, right, you're done. They're all coming off, and we'll start again. So let's see on your behavior. We'll put one back on, one game. Let's see how you manage time on that. Because I don't want to, I want her to learn to take responsibility for that herself. Because I want us to be doing this. We're a team. We've got to do it together, because she's still got to be able to feel like she can come and talk to me, and that I'm the place that she comes for help. I'm not going to be the one to cut her off. I'm going to be the one to go, all right, let me help you, you know? So she said to me, thank you, it's the right thing to do. I lost track, you know, that could have been my baby nephew, and I wasn't watching, and something bad happened.
Yeah.
So
roadblocks. That takes us to another question, which was...
Well, let me just finish this, because it's so important. So my friend who works at the ad agency, I saw your video and talking about roadblocks, and I've never heard of it until recently because of us. And Roblox want to now put ads into Roblox, and I was like, there you go, just like WhatsApp. Everyone goes, Roblox, oh god, yeah. I mean, Molly only got it like 2 years ago, but in her primary school they had it from so young. Roblox is safe. Everyone's like, oh, it's fine, you know, just like WhatsApp, safe. It's you know, it's not, it's really not. If you don't believe me, just look it up. You know, it's not, this is not some, you know, kind of conspiracy theory here. This, the facts are there. And now the fact that they're going to put ads in, I said to my friend, I said, you know what, you're in a really important position right now, where when they come to you, you could say, look, the kind of adverts, we put adverts in Roblox. Yeah, of course, we'll help you with your ad campaign. But what would be really great, and I said, it'd be great PR for your ad if you're an advertising company as well, is to, you know, is to say, let's put positive message adverts in there, things which are, you know, counterbalancing all of the other stuff. Whether that will happen, I doubt, you know, because they're a business and they just, you know, they want to win the business, obviously, for Roblox. But how sad is that? Ads going into Roblox.
Well, that's the thing. My niece is playing Roblox as well. And and like my eldest niece is 13. She's been playing for quite a while. And because she plays, my younger niece plays as well. And she's 9 now. Only just turned 9, but she's been playing it for a couple of years. And every time I come round, they go, "Oh, Auntie Lou, can we show you this house we built? Can we show you this thing we've done? Or oh, can you help me? I've got to, you know, do a pizza delivery job to earn some Robux so that I can build this thing because I need an extra so many bucks to put a roof on my house." I'm like, right, okay. You know, part of me thinks, okay, well, this shows like some level of responsibility to be able to build the house in the first place. They have to go and do the thing and do the job. And my youngest niece is a babysitter in the game, and she has 11 babies that she looks after, which I do not think is responsible. There are ratios for a reason, but still, they're all alive, and that's all that matters. If anyone's stinky, it's her.
Alive. She's doing better than me.
She keeps 11 babies alive, and she's the stinky one, not the babies. The babies are all clean, fed, and happy, right. And she's the one who walks around with flies around her. It goes stinky. I'm like, Ariella, I think you need to have a bath now. In the game, go and have a bath. But you know, but they do get like quite into it, and then sometimes their mum will say, "Let's put, you know, your cousins are here. Let's put that away for now." But my daughter hasn't really got into the idea of games yet.
But when you walk in, that what makes me really sad is, you know, when you walk into a friend's house and they're just, they don't even look up. They don't even, you know, that like hello, engaging, that lack of, as I say, you know, that disconnection, that kind of like, and how to communicate human to human. Do we want to lose that? Maybe people are like, I'm okay with that. Let's just all live in an alternative reality. It's absolutely fine. But, you know, okay, but the facts and the figures are there. The anxiety, the depression, the self-harming.
Yeah.
All this is all relates back to the phones. There is no other explanation, and you can deny it all you want, but I don't want to live in denial, and I'm going to do the best that I can for my children, and I want them. I'm going to say, yeah, you can have it for an hour. You can put those time restrictions on. You can do it from your phone. On Apple, you certainly can. I don't know because I don't have an Android, but from Apple, you know, you know, she can't access the internet. She can't access any apps. I put the time in. I can put restrictions in for how long she can be on certain apps. I can choose which apps are on, which apps are off. It's a ball ache to do, but once it's done, the peace is there, you know, and it's just another, it's a new form of parenting. It's just a new form of parenting, you know?
And with that, putting all those pieces into place to be able to help with them getting their sea legs, as it were, with their socials and things, that's all down to the communication as well that you use to do it. It's like, you know, you want to make sure that your child feels trusted to be able to be responsible online, but equally you want to say, I'm doing this to help you because I know how hard it is to put those limits in place. You know, I struggle with looking at my phone. I check mine for the time, the weather. I speak to Alexa on the reg, asking her, how hot's it going to be today? You know, and it's difficult, but we, you know, by communicating with them on a one-to-one level and saying, you know, I know you are responsible online. I know I can trust you, but I'm putting these restrictions in place to help you to regulate yourself because I struggle with that too. That then helps them understand that it's not against them, it's for them.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, that's what I say to Molly, you know, and Barley obviously hears it. She's younger, but she hears it. And it's like, you know what, I find it hard. And I will show them videos and I will show them, you know, there's a brilliant Dove campaign. I don't know if you saw it, which just showed really wonderful fun-loving girl, you know, and just what happened, the deterioration and the how she became so insular and retracted from this family, and then eventually, you know, almost died through, you know, through disorder. And then all of these stories that came through of self-harm and stuff like that, you know. But I show the girls, and look at it. Look at this is what can happen. So yeah, as an element of putting fear of God into them, of going, don't take this lightly. This is so powerful. It's more powerful than you. It's cleverer than you, this phone.
Yeah.
You are not smarter than this what looks like a piece of tech, because there's hundreds and thousands and millions of pounds worth of, you know, of research that have gone in to make sure that you keep yourself engaged on this. Yeah. Businesses need you to be engaged to make money. That's what they have to do. Be cleverer, be smarter. And here's how we're going to do it, because I need to do it too. And we're going to do this together. Exactly like it's just a new form of parenting. So I guess there's an element of going, well, hold on a minute. First of all, as parents, we, you know, and adults, we need to accept that maybe we aren't great at regulating ourselves on it. Because how, you know, how otherwise are we going to lead by example?
That's the thing that I do struggle. I do find it difficult to put it down sometimes. And also, I think, you know, like we were saying, you know, I work a full-time job. I also do this and have three kids. And so I end up, you know, with, I've got Teams on my phone for work. I've got my emails on my phone for work. I've got my emails on my phone for this.
Booking the doctor. Appointments, everything is
everything's
on.
Done through they this and
on your phone the whole time. Then they want what mummy and daddy do, so they, you know,
exactly.
It's
really difficult to show that sort of like restraint. And like you were saying before we started recording, you had your phone on that tripod, you were recording that thing for your self-tan progression, and you realized how difficult it was to just step away from it and leave it there. Like you were saying as well, I've got my wallets on here, my money's on here, everything's on here. If I want to take the train, I just blip myself through. It's so easy. Sometimes I also have my car key is on there as well. So sometimes I can literally leave my house with just my phone and my front door key, and that's it, I'm done. And it's really tricky. Like my husband, he did just that. And his car key stopped working on his phone while he was out. And so we had to sort that out. But it's really difficult. And, you know, I think like
indispensable. That's the thing. And like any good, very clever person would do if they got themselves into a job at work, put yourself in a position where you become indispensable, where people can't live without you. They need you. And that's what they are. But it's just... Yeah, it's just there's so many elements to this. It's so multifaceted. It's hard to kind of dig into all of it. Did you have, you said before I interrupted you because I wanted to get that about the But was there a question you said?
Yeah, so like we've had a few, including like how do we tackle the tantrums associated with social media addiction? But one of those things I think we've sort of covered off. You know, treating your child with respect, explaining to them that. Yeah, we've got to stop this. We've got to work together to sort this out, you know, by putting those parental controls in.
That's like telling a junkie not to have any more. So by the point that they're having tantrums, it's too late to do that. Do you know what I mean? Too late to start at that point, I mean, of like educating them. I think, you know,
at that point it's time to take the device away completely, go cold turkey?
Cold turkey, start fresh. You know, like the minute I saw... that with Molly that she lost control, I went hardline. I'm like, I don't soft parent. I'm going to deal with a tantrum in the same way I would have dealt with a tantrum when she was three, you know, in the middle of a garden center. Yeah, like she can scream and she can do what she wants, but I will not give in, because it's like, that is my job. I chose to have children. I'm going to do my fucking best to put them in a position where they can go ahead to be well-rounded adults, you know, and then feed them their kids, you know. So I know what I'm doing is coming from a good place. So it just means, no, sorry, if you're going to tantrum, that you are so far gone. So you go back, start again, okay? And then you communicate and you talk. And the thing is, I don't know how old the person who sent that in, how old their child is, but
her daughter's 13.
Okay, her daughter's 13. All right, okay. So that's the age where a lot of the apps are allowing they legally can access an app. I'm assuming if she's tantruming, she's probably been on it a bit earlier than that, which no shade, mum shade. Yeah, because listen, as I say, we did not have the information that we have now, the research. Yeah. So we, listen, if I could have a child the same age and I've done the same thing, all right? And I think
exactly.
Because I work in this industry, that I see a lot more. So that's why, you know, I think it's slightly different. But I think that it's tricky because, you know, when I think about when the kids are little, going out for dinner, you know, we go out for dinner a lot more than our parents used to, kind of go for a Sunday roast or something. Yeah. And, you know, you give them a screen. You give them a screen and Peppa Pig. And they do, you know, so now, you know, I see these other things which are more kind of interactive games, learning games. And I think to myself, well, I would, when they're little, I know, you know, a screen's going to be the only thing. Let's make it not YouTube and swipe, 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 and attention span getting shorter and shorter as they get older and older. Let's make it something which they have to have some element of education to. So, you know, if you are going to do it, I think that's something that definitely works, because I think if you start already with that addiction to screen, and also it's going to have to be limited. So it's like, okay, if you want to do it while you eat your meal, so you get a nice hot dinner that you pay for, give them the screen then, but afterwards you're gonna have to parent your child.
Yeah,
you know,
the only time we've really used screens, I mean, like every now and again we use the screen while we're out for dinner, and the only time we've really used it is when they're tired and we've been out all day. Like, you know, if we've gone to the zoo and then we've decided to stop to get dinner on the way home because everyone's tired, everyone needs feeding, we're just going to put them straight to bed on the way home. And then everyone's just like, you know, tensions are high, everyone's tired, and it's just like, quiet life, get a Nando's, stick a screen down for a minute, finish dinner, get them to bed. But I mean, the majority of the time we try and do conversations at dinner time. That's the way I was raised. And then the other day, my mum said to me, she was like, if they've eaten, like the littles will have had dinner at nursery, but it's like 4:30. And then they still want to have tea with us at home. And so she was like, do they need a full dinner? Why don't we just give them like something small? Give them soup and bread. Feed the eldest first, give her a proper tea. The kids can have, you know, a tea snack and then go to bed. And honestly, it's one of the best things we've started doing, like smaller portions just before bed. They get the experience of having dinner, but we don't have the pain of 1.5 hour dinner sessions with a child kicking the other one in the head at the bench seat on the kitchen table. It's like, oh, you know, you get to that point.
This thing, don't we? It's like, oh, well, it's like Molly will have a packed lunch at school. Whereas Molly is having like a proper, like, she's got a canteen, so she'll have like pasta, stuff like that. And I think to myself, she doesn't really need another full pasta dinner. Actually, she could just have a wrap or something, or some soup, like you say. It's all about, you know, got to make my life easier as well. I'll be honest with you. If I didn't have to feed this family, I would eat cereal every night. I don't think I would ever cook. I can't bear making big like dinners in the evening. But yeah, I think the phone around the dinner table, that's, I mean, it's another topic. I think, would you say that if you took them like to Nando's, would you have to have the screen on to keep them awake to eat?
No. So like if we planned to go out for tea, and that's what we're going to do, then generally we'll go out, you know, at an earlier time where everyone is just about getting hungry, because you've got to take into account like how long it takes for the food to get to the table and all of that stuff as well. But it's just like if you've had like a really long day out and you were thinking of having, like, you've had a, if we'd have gone to like the zoo or something, we'd either take a packed lunch or snacks and then have lunch at the zoo. Yeah. And then you're on your way home, and they always start off I'm hungry. I'm hungry. It's too late to get home and make them something at home. And so it's easier just to, you know, stop off quickly, grab something. But by that point, it's like 6 o'clock. You know, yeah. Everyone's tired. They should be in bed in like an hour anyway. And so, yeah, that's the only time we really rely on screens when we go out to eat is if everyone's tired and we haven't accounted for actually having dinner out anywhere. But like we used to, we've done quite a few trips to like Peppa Pig World and stuff where we've done like a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah, long drive.
Well, I have something called the pub bag.
So,
like I'm down there regularly. I'm not, but we do often like, nowadays there's more gastro pubs, isn't there? We didn't used to eat in pubs, but now there's so many nice ones. And generally when we're meeting with friends, rather than be cooking and kind of not be able to chat, like go and have a roast and all the kids together is something that, you know, that we enjoy doing. And so we'll just take down the pub bag, and it's got, see, this is, it's very much age related, this, because obviously when they're really little, this isn't an option, which is why, you know, I get why I used it, the screen back there. But now that older, I know that I have other options, and the screen is, you know, it's a lazier option for me, from my perspective. Yeah. I could do it, and I could just give them my phone, like we all done it at some point, haven't we? Yeah, we can watch Peppa Pig on there, play Angry Birds. That used to be our thing. But now I'll take a pub bag down, and it's, you know, it's colouring or it's games or it's some like Lumans or just something. You know, and then they'll do that.
As has the LCD drawing pads in them. A little tub of Play-Doh that they all argue over. Some colouring sheets and some crayons. Because even though you go to the place, sometimes they don't have them. And then they go, can I have some colouring? And they don't have it. And so save the disappointment. Bring your own.
In your shit, you're like, okay, there's only so many, you know, when you haven't got anything with you, and you're like, there's only so many games of Hangman, Noughts and Crosses, you know, like that you can play because you run out. So you have, I've just learned to take this with, and it normally stays in the car, you know, or we by the door ready to go. And occasionally I put something new in there. Uno, do you know what I mean? Card games, things like, oh, I'll get told off for how I say it by the kids. Uno. But anyway, all that kind of stuff. And I just find that's great, because if I don't do that, they'll have friends that come along with phones. Like, how other people, this is not up to me, you know. So I will have friends, and they'll let their kids come with phones. If we're going to go meet friends and go out for dinner, I'm like, Molly, you don't need your phone. There's no reason whatsoever that you could possibly need your phone. Okay, so leave it at home. She's fine. There's no kicking off. This is, we don't get tantrums. But the friends will come, and their friends, you know, their kids will have phones with them. And they would, if the both of the girls had phones, they would sit there just on their phones. Or, and actually you'll see these kids want to get more involved with like the loom bands, or they want to play cards, want to do that. And then they get involved, and that, you know, and it just in general, I've seen Molly now, since taking away YouTube and restricting like how long they spend on the TV when they can watch it, go back into imaginative play in a way that I thought that was that part of her childhood was over. I mean, it makes me really emotional, like thinking about it, because the other day I came down and she was just there playing with like Barley's Sleech little horses and reenacting something.
Aww.
11 years old. And I think to myself, I had probably had my Barbies up until I was 8, but most kids, they're gone. They're like the Barbies. They're not doing anything like that. But seeing her do that, and then she was like, oh God, this is really embarrassing. I was like, it's not embarrassing if you're enjoying it. And that's the thing, you know, and that's there. They still want to be kids. So let's let them be kids. They're just going to forget otherwise. And it's, God, they're going to have to deal with this tech for the rest of their lives. And for anyone that says, well, it's going to be part of their lives and they need to learn how to do it, well, fine then. Give them fags and alcohol and let them have sex at 5. I mean, it's a ridiculous argument. You just
that's
couldn't do
thing,
it.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? Yeah, it is, but, isn't it?
You can come. And they won't, trust me, it's not going to take them that long to learn how to use Instagram when the time comes.
I reckon it's going to be very quick. I got schooled on the Switch the other day by my 14-year-old niece, so that was fun. it's really funny. But thank you so much for taking the time to join me today and for going through all of that. I'll make sure that in the show notes we've referenced you know, everything from the smartphone free childhood. I'll also put links into
I'll send you the link for that neuroscientist, he's brilliant.
Yes, please do.
Can I also ask that you give a shout out to Parent Shield, which is a brilliant mobile phone network that I've put Molly on, which works really well if you decide to go down the route where they can just text and call. Because it means that you can manage the numbers, so they can't receive any numbers that aren't already in the phone that you haven't been managed by you. You can put in keywords as well, so if anything pops up, even in the text, you know, in messaging format, if any word that you would see as maybe, you know, a bit dodgy comes up, you would be alerted to your phone.
Amazing.
So it's not you can helicopter with this as much as you want. I have as much independence as she can, but it does mean that I know that she is not going to get any dodgy numbers calling her or texting her. Spam, and also, you know, if anything comes up, that I'll be alerted. So Parent Shield is really, really great and very
amazing.
And they have different levels, so it goes from being just phone and text to, if you want to give them internet access on a phone, you can do things through that as well. And that, do you know what's really great as well about them? That when you call the number, the helpline, you actually speak to a person every time. They don't have the budget to advertise as big as all of these other mobile phone networks, but it's the only driven mobile phone network in the country, and I really want to champion them as much as possible because I think they are brilliant and they're a lovely lot. And it was started by a dad whose child had autism, and he was a school governor, and he knew his child needed a phone, but he also knew he needed to protect him. So yeah, Parent Shield, smartphone free childhood. I will send you the link to the neuroscientist.
Yes, please do.
And thank you so much for having me. I really hope that I haven't come across as preachy in any way or judgmental.
No.
I just feel really passionate about it, I don't want to parent shame anyone. I'm learning as I go along, and I just, we're all just trying to do our best. And I just want to help. I don't want to see our kids in, you know, having problems with their mental health or hurting themselves or being unhappy. I want to give them the best chance. And I think this reset is what's needed.
No, I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for joining me.
If you enjoyed this episode of Mums, Work and Chaos, please make sure to subscribe on whatever podcasting channel you're listening on at the moment. Or if you'd like to get involved, feel free to email me at mumsworkandchaos@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @mumsworkandchaos. See you then.